Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For a couple of weeks now, our epistle lessons have come from the book of James. James is considered to be the brother of Jesus, and so he has some firsthand experience in teaching what Jesus taught. The primary theme of the book of James is living out your faith. It's kind of a how-to book, perhaps a what-not-to-do book. James wants his readers to be doers, not just hearers. Along those lines, last week we heard about all of the problems that the tongue can cause. 2 weeks ago, we asked the question, is your faith showing by the good works that you do? Today, our text helps us consider how our humility might be showing. In the 5 short chapters of this book, James doesn't pull any punches. He tells it like it is. He asks pointed questions. In our lesson for today, he says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? And then he answers his own question, your passions are at war within you. The word that's translated as passions means your desires, your lusts, the things that you want to have, the things that you covet. And then he goes on to say, you covet and cannot obtain, and so you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And then you do not ask and you do not receive because you want to spend those prayers on those passions that you have warring within you. That is to say that he was encouraging him not to pray about the negative things in this world. As I read those questions, it occurred to me that this could be a real hellfire and brimstone sermon. But in doing so, I would have to play judge. And that's not my job. My job is not to judge. There's only one judge, and he might be here today, but I don't think we see him. But I do want to address one of the ways that you might live out your faith. Last Sunday in Sunday school, our worksheet asked this question. Why is humbling ourselves so important when we are seeking the kingdom and loving our neighbors? I thought that was a pretty simple question, but it provoked an hour-long discussion about humility. Is humility good or is it bad? Should we always be humble, or are there times when we might measure out that humility? Is humility a sign of weakness? Can you be strong and still be humble? Those are some challenging questions that we face this morning. So let me start by offering up a little story that may help as we think about humility. There was a man who received a promotion to the position of vice president. For weeks on end, he bragged to anyone who would listen that he was now a vice president. His constant reminders to everyone that he talked to embarrassed and angered his wife. And one day she thought, okay, this is enough. She said, listen, Bob, this is not a big deal. These days, everyone is a vice president. Why, they even have a vice president of peas down at the supermarket. That's peas like peas in a pod. That kind of set Bob on his heels, and he thought about that a little bit, and so he said, I'm going to check. So he called the local supermarket, and he said, may I speak to the vice president of peas, please? And the friendly voice on the other end said, certainly, sir. Would that be the vice president of fresh peas or frozen peas? It shows kind of the absurdity that we have sometimes in our lives. Bob's problem was that he was focused on himself and his own self-importance. You might say that he had a deep sense of pleasure and satisfaction in his own accomplishments. And according to the dictionary, that is the definition of pride. You see, Bob's goal in this life was to seek status. He wanted recognition. He wanted to convince himself and others of how important that he was. Even the disciples in the gospel lesson for today suffer from this same problem. As they're going along, Jesus is reminding them that he will go to Jerusalem, that he will be killed, that he will be hung on the cross, that he will rise again in 3 days. And they don't understand that, because they're thinking that he's going to have a political, earthly kind of kingdom. And so they're thinking, well, if Jesus is going to be the king, where does that put me? You know, I would like to be the Secretary of the Treasury. I'd like to be the Secretary of State. Who is it that's going to be the Secretary of the Army? Those were the kinds of questions that they were having. They were asking themselves, who is the greatest? Much like Bob wanted to tell everybody how great he was. Now, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your accomplishments. Accomplishing things is okay. But when our goal becomes to make sure that everybody knows how great we are, when we brag about those accomplishments, it is then that we cross the line into pride, away from humility. And Bob was certainly not being humble, he was being prideful. To be humble means that you need to be modest, that you need to be respectful, that you need to be putting others before yourself. Humility is not calling attention to yourself. Humility is about attitude and about gratitude. It's having a realistic estimate of one's own importance. To be humble is to be submissive, to be unassuming, to be unassertive. The problem that we have today is that we bought into the idea, the worldly definition, the worldly understanding that humility is bad. The world would say to get ahead in this world, we need to have things, we need to be recognized, we need to be important. To do all those things, we have to be strong and powerful, to be controlling and dominant. The world would have us believe that to be humble is to be weak and feeble and frail and pathetic. And we have to admit that people who are humble don't necessarily always get ahead in this world. But that's in this world. You see, we live in two kingdoms. It's part of that tension that we Christians are aware of all the time. We live in the kingdom of God, in God's kingdom, but we also live in the secular world, that world outside of this church, where other people don't necessarily believe as we do, where Satan is on the loose and trying to have his way. And clearly there is a difference between those two worlds. In our broken condition, we try to satisfy both worlds at the same time. We sometimes follow God, and sometimes we follow the world. James refers to those kind of people who are who try to do that as being double-minded. We all struggle with that. In a recent survey, a journal called the Discipleship Journal ranked their readers' greatest spiritual challenges. Think about what is your greatest spiritual challenge. What they learned from their survey was this. The greatest spiritual challenge for most people who took that survey was materialism. wanting to have all of the things that this world offers. He who has the most toys wins. And what do you suppose the second one was? Pride. And what does the Bible say about pride, and when does it come? Before the fall. And the next one was almost as bad, or almost in the same vein, self-centeredness. And so the world would have us want things. The world would say, you need to be proud and you need to let people know. The world would say, focus on yourself and not to worry about anybody else. Take care of old number one first. So at this point, you might be saying, well, okay, fine. What does that have to do with our text for today? James, you see, is seeking to give us a biblical wisdom by which we can live our lives. Biblical wisdom is focusing on the ethics and the spiritual conduct of our lives. It's the way to righteousness. Biblical wisdom is the art of life. It's the art of living as God intended us to live. And so we seek that wisdom today. In the reading for today, James is suggesting that we need to live with a humble heart. And that's not what the world would have us do. But James says there are great benefits to living as God would have you live, with a humble heart. In verse 6, he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in the last verse of the reading for today, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. How nice would that be, to be exalted by God rather than by the world? How wonderful is God's grace? How much better is it to be exalted by God rather than by the world? The world doesn't offer grace. The world offers very little mercy. Exaltation is usually temporary, often fleeting, and frequently vanishes very easily. And so I encourage you today to avoid pride and to seek humility. I encourage you to follow the admonition that James has in our text for today. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your heart. Those are good things for us to do. And let me close with the words of a song that's called Commit Your Way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Your cause will shine as bright as fire. Delight to do God's holy word, and you shall find what you desire. Be still before the Lord and wait. And do not fret when wrong succeeds. Refrain from anger, turn from hate, for God will punish evil deeds. Salvation comes from God alone. The faithful know their help is sure. To heaven all our needs are known, and in God's strength we are secure. Commit your way to God the Lord. To peace and truth and grace aspire, then mercy shall be your reward, God's promises your heart's desire. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds, that you might live humbly in this world through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.